So we're talking this morning about our stuff, aka our clutter. Every once in a while, I journey into the garage. And more than just to do the laundry or back the car out. And there's that salsa maker that we got at the Del Mar Fair in 2003 or 4. Still in its perfect wrapping, because we knew we couldn't live without it, but somehow for 7 years or so, we have. I'll bet, and you don't have to admit it, but I'll bet there are those kinds of things, and maybe not, and if not, I salute you, but I bet there's something like that.
I just gave one of those to George.
There you go. Oh my God, how funny. That's fabulous. So if you need one, go see George afterwards and you could buy it off his truck, or be sure to attend the next garage sale. Thank you, Kathleen. That's too funny. But the point is, we feel like we got to have this or it's a gift. And we're, for whatever reason, not comfortable in re-gifting. And so we keep it very possibly wrapped up. We do that sometimes with our beliefs. Somebody said something. And as many of you know, I am in the last stages of a book, which is the most amazing experience beyond anything I can describe to you, and I won't go into great detail because we have other things to talk about this morning. But the point is, going through this process, my editor... Oh, I so love how that sounds. My editor says, great, you've got this, expound on this and expand on this. And so I'm going back in, looking and remembering things that I hadn't remembered. And they feel sometimes like a box of something, a gift that someone gave me that was, they thought, was important for me. But it really was not important for me, but yet I accepted it and took it as my truth. And I've carried it all this time, and I've never opened the box. I just said, okay, that must be true. You gave it to me. I trust you. This must be mine. And I'm running with it, but I've never stopped to open the box. So the opportunity for us is to open the box and to see those things that serve us and are valuable to us, and keep them, and to see those things that are really clutter to us and release them. Before I forget, I want to just very quickly remind you, in your bulletin this morning, there is an envelope. This is the first Sunday of the month, and so we're collecting our special offering for this month again for the San Diego Street Angels Ministry and for the Live and Let Live Alano Club. And we're asking if this feels right for you, just $10 or more if you'd like, over and above your normal tither offering, to go to these community organizations. And so as you give this morning, you're welcome to use the envelope that's in your bulletin and specify how much is a regular tither offering and how much is for the special offering, and then put that in the baskets later on this morning. If you'd like to give by credit or debit card, you're welcome to do that, and that's the green slip in your bulletin this morning. Either of these pieces of paper that you don't use this morning, if you would just place them in the seat pocket in front of you, I appreciate that very much, because that saves me time so that I don't have to come back through and replenish the supplies in the seats. So thank you very much for that. So clutter, the concept of clutter. Clutter includes things that we hold on to that are no longer useful to us. They could be worn out or brand new, but they are trash because they've lost value to us. I love that quote that Jerry read earlier this morning about the concept of value, and we were watching, you know, the universe always supports us. And I love it when the universe supports me in object lessons for the talk that I'm giving, because on CBS Sunday morning, this morning, they were talking about this diamond. This diamond that is not anywhere near the size of my fist, but this, about yay, it looked like. It's some remarkable number, 1,000 and some odd carats. And so this man in New York was refaceting it to get the shot, the brilliance out of this blue diamond. And so they're talking about it and the fact that he's on the machine, and it's a very delicate process because if you hit, I guess, on a diamond, if you hit it wrong and do something that you shouldn't have, it can just explode. So the reporter said, okay, now that, and they showed him doing it and it was done and it's in the case, and the gemologist says, I've never seen a stone like this. And so the reporter says, well, now that it's done, you're going to sell it. How much will you sell it for? And the jeweler didn't want to talk about it, but she said, well, over $1 million, right? And he said, for this shiny piece of rock. This shiny piece of rock, over $1 million. Isn't it interesting the value we place on stuff? And it's our value, and especially the clutter, the treasures in our life, we're the ones that place the value. Either, I don't care about this, or, oh, somebody gave this to me and I gotta keep it, or somebody said this so it must be true. We always are the ones placing the value. So this book entitled Clutter Busting, and we have copies in the bookstore this morning, great book. He said, the author says, clutter busting is actively breaking through barriers and letting go of the unnecessary clutter that crowds our lives. Clutter busting helps restore clarity and insight. You find yourself and remove the impediments to a happy life. You naturally replace lack of motivation, anxiety, and unhappiness with peace of mind, certainty, and acceptance of change and progress. Because your things, and I would include material stuff plus thoughts and beliefs and ideas and memories, are only valuable to us when they improve or enhance our lives. I don't know about you, but this really resonates for me, because one of the things I'm committing to do is a late spring cleaning. We're doing this. We hadn't really talked about this, but trust me, we're doing this because there's some stuff that needs to go. It doesn't have to. You know, it could stay. You don't have to change a thing. But if you go into a room that's neat and clean and organized, and you can find what you're looking for, and things are filed the way they're supposed to be, and all of that, do you notice the feeling that you get versus walking into a room where you gotta move your way around, and it's on the desk somewhere, give me just a minute, I'm sure I'll find it, or dig through the filing cabinet and find it? There's energy there. There's absolutely energy there, and that clutter that we're paying good money to keep, because you're paying your mortgage, or you're paying your rent, or you're at least paying property taxes, or you're paying your monthly rental to your storage people, we're paying money to house that clutter. We are paying money to house that clutter. Thanks so much for being here this morning, but please know that I am totally talking to myself in this talk. Sometimes society and parents and old beliefs teach us what's important. And what's important is for us to look and see what's important. If that box of stuff no longer serves us, if it doesn't bring us joy, if we're not going through it on a regular basis or have the potential to go through it in the next 6 months, in my estimation, because we need it, maybe it's the opportunity to move it right along. If that belief is keeping us stuck in an old pattern or doesn't feel really good for us, there's the opportunity to forgive it, release it, and move on and get rid of that emotional and spiritual clutter. Those old beliefs about money. Those old beliefs about relationships and about deservedness. And did we talk about that last Sunday or on Wednesday? I don't remember. Anyway, it's so important for recognize. You know, we believe and we absolutely know that the universe, God, spirit, our higher power, whatever we choose to call it, responds to us as we believe. We're not going to get that desired manifestation if we don't believe we deserve it. That's so important for us to recognize. That could be an old belief in those old beliefs about original sin, those old beliefs about somehow we're less than or we don't deserve or there's only a certain amount and we can only ask for so much because God's got a limit on what God can give, and so we can only take this amount because if we take too much, then there's not going to be enough for somebody else. That's nonsense. That's clutter. That belief absolutely is clutter that we can release and move on. So the opportunity is in spring cleaning that we're going to do is to look at those things that no longer serve us, that are piled up, that are clutter for us, whether physical stuff or emotional and spiritual, release them, take them to the Goodwill, take them to George's, just drop them in the dumpster metaphysically, whatever works for you, but get it out of your life so that you can move on. Sometimes we allow clutter in our lives that's somebody else's. I am amazed at the number of people that get really, really involved in celebrities' lives. And I meant to look this up online and I didn't get the opportunity, but I think it was John Travolta's wife, Kelly Preston, that got pregnant. And she's 41 or 2 or 3. And there was just 48, thank you. And there was this great big upheaval and hue and cry because she's too old to get pregnant and she shouldn't be doing this and so on and so on. And I just was laughing up my sleeve because what business is it of anybody's except John and Kelly's whether she gets pregnant or not? But what happens is when we spend so much time in somebody else's life, that means we don't have to spend that time in our own. So the challenge and the opportunity for us is to stay in our own lives and look at our clutter and let somebody else take care of theirs. There's a passage in the New Testament about the splinter in your eye versus the plank in somebody else's, and you kind of get the drift there. Going back to the quote that Jerry read earlier, many of us come from the place of, I'm depressed, I'm down, there's this piece of plastic in my wallet that starts to go like this. I could just go, I'll go buy something and I'll feel so much better. And if you've ever done that, and it might be just lunch out, or it might be a new car, or it might be that $100,000 or $1 million diamond, but whatever it is, most of the time, my experience has been, if you go to do that, it winds up not accomplishing what you wanted to do, and all you get is the bill at the end of the month and more clutter. It's important for us to recognize that, because that happiness, that joy, never really comes from outside of us. Deepak Chopra's book, Power, Freedom, and Grace, he says, external causes of happiness never create real joy. Joy is an internal state of consciousness that determines how we perceive and experience the world. The internal source of joy, our connection to our Creator, our source, our inner self, is the cause, while happiness or joy is the effect. And Vedanta, which is an ancient philosophy, says that happiness for a reason is just another form of misery, because the reason can be taken away at any time. For example, I'm happy with Barbara McVeigh's chocolate cake, flourless chocolate cake. I am happy, but eventually we eat up the chocolate cake. I am happy to be with you all on Sunday morning, but eventually it'll be 11:15 and 11:30 and y'all will go home. I'm happy with whatever the experience is, but then the experience ends. So it's so important for us to get that happiness and that joy and that satisfaction from within us, and then enjoy all those other things, but know that the underlying and lasting joy and happiness come from within us, not from our experiences or from our stuff, if you will. throwing anything away or donating it to the garage sale or doing whatever it is you do with it requires change. Change is scary. And if you've ever gone through a process where you're doing spring cleaning, you might have had that, oh, but remember we were in Dublin, Ireland in 1998, and I bought this shirt, and it's so neat, and it's been in the box since 1998. Wow. Maybe it's time. We're going through that box this afternoon. You said we were. See, we'll start. It's those things. Yes, it's a wonderful memory. Yes, it's great. But do we want to take up, do we want to pay? Because if you break your mortgage or your rent or your property taxes, if you don't have a mortgage or rent, into bits and pieces and percentages, you're paying money every month for that shirt to have a place. It may be 1/20th of a cent, but if you multiply it by all the other stuff in your house or your storage room, that comes out to money. If you consider the beliefs that no longer serve you, the memories that hurt when they happen, but we just can't let go of them, think of carrying those and having a place for those in our consciousness. That's costing us peace. That's costing us joy. That's costing us abundance because we're allowing that clutter to stay in our beliefs rather than clearing it out. So that's what we're about in this concept of clutter busting. If there's been a change, change is scary. And sometimes we look back and in regret and wish for those experiences or those people or those things that no longer exist. One of the things that I really found and came home for me was when I went through the transition 3.5 years ago, leaving a job. What I was reminded of was that it was no longer a job that I loved, and the job that I loved didn't exist anymore. Because I was in the same chair, doing the same work, getting the same money, but the job description and how it worked and how it felt for me no longer existed. So the opportunity in our clutter busting is to look at, oh, I so love that, but it's not available anymore. I so loved that person, or I so love that experience, or whatever it was, but it's not there anymore. And the memory with the regret and any resentment and all the rest of that is just clutter in our consciousness. So Brooks Palmer is the author of this book, and he does this for a living, what he calls clutter busting. And he says he sits on the floor with clients, takes one thing and then another, and asks of each thing, do you need this or can you let it go? Fear of letting go of something useless. There is fear of letting go of something useless, but we feel it has value. Sometimes we might have spent a lot of money for this thing. And he gives the example in the book of this couple that had thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of top line sporting equipment, all still very pristine because they bought it and were so enthused and came home and the wrapper wasn't even off the exercise bike. They weren't even using it for a clothes hanger. It just had never been unwrapped. And the golf clubs were there and it had been there for 3 or 4 years and it was all clutter. And he said, it's time to let this go. And they said, but we spent a lot of money for that. And he said, yes, but if you're not using it, and oh, by the way, if it's in your house and it's a reminder to you that you get to beat yourself over the head with, I can't believe I was so stupid to spend all that money on that. Did you ever do that? What value is that bringing you? Not only is it clutter, but it's also taking your energy away from you because you're using it as an opportunity to feel bad and guilty for the money that you spent. So the value is what we assign to it. If you're not using it, if it's not bringing you joy, there's no value. Let it go. Relationships, if there's no value, if the person that you're spending time with, you're kind of dragging along because you've known them forever and you'd almost rather eat dirt than spend time with them, it's okay to let them go. It's okay, no matter who it is, it's okay to love them without judgment, release them, and let them go. Because chances are, whether they want to admit it or not, if you're spending time with somebody that you don't really want to spend time with, chances are they feel the same way. Consciously or unconsciously, they feel the same way. That's clutter for us. We love them, we honor them, we just don't choose to spend time with them, and that's okay. In the room where there's piles of our clutter, we can't find that marriage certificate. We can't find that book. We can't find that whatever it is. In the same way, I can't hear what the still small voice is telling me if I'm cluttered with old beliefs about how it might have been or should have been, old regrets, old resentments, old stuff. So the opportunity is to go in and have that spring cleaning of our beliefs as well as of our physical treasures. Your things, my things, are only beneficial when they improve or enhance our lives in some way. We may have to get a moving van to come and take some stuff out of that house. The book says, when you hang on to your past, you're gripping an anchor that is swiftly moving to the bottom of the ocean. Sure, you have something to hang on to, but you're drowning too. If you have diaries, and I kept a diary from a rather grisly part of my life for years and years and years, and I was going to write a book about it and just go all the gory details, and the still small voice finally got a word in edgewise and said, really? Do you really want to go through that again? If you kept a diary from a difficult time in your life, maybe it's time to allow that to go. If there aren't lessons that can be learned, if there's not value for someone else to hear that could change their lives for the better, and it changed your life for the better, maybe it's time to let that go. Because if it's not bringing you joy, what's the point? What is the point? Clutter, and a reminder, clutter is anything in your life that no longer serves you. I'd like to share a quick story from the book. He talks about the ocean again. Imagine that you're drowning in the ocean. You're grasping at the objects floating past you to keep afloat. You grasp something and it slips out of your hand, or you swim towards something and it floats out of your reach. You think it's all over. You're going to sink to the bottom of the ocean and drown. You give up. But you don't sink. You float. You are able to stay on the surface without anything to assist you. It's a peaceful feeling. You are self-reliant. You don't need anything. You thought you did, but you were wrong. The panic is gone. The anxiety has dissolved. You feel true happiness at just being alive. This is freedom from clutter. You don't really need anything. It was pure superstition to think otherwise. As you are, you are self-sustaining. So I love the concept of that, because we hang on to things that we think we've got to have. We hang on to the need for approval. I'm not okay unless you tell me that you are, or unless you approve of whatever it is I'm doing or saying or thinking or making or whatever. But the truth is, because of our oneness with spirit, we are self-sustaining. Self with a capital S. Regardless of our stuff, regardless of our past, regardless of our biography And it's interesting to hear how people describe themselves. You know, a divorced grandmother of six, blah, 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 blah. That's just, that's what we did or where we were, but it's not who we are. So why do we get this stuff? Why do we have all this stuff on our houses? Well, because we bought it because it was going to fulfill a purpose, or we thought it was going to fulfill a purpose. And it may still be. But if it's not, there's the opportunity to get rid of it. And things become clutter when they are no longer used on a regular basis to make our lives better. Ideas, beliefs become clutter when they stand in the way of what we really want to experience. That's clutter, and there's the opportunity to release those. Think about what happened yesterday for just a minute. Anything stand out for you? If it was wonderful, if it was valuable, if it makes you smile when you think about it, that's worth keeping. If it doesn't meet those criteria, it's clutter. I was at Target in Grossmont Center. And if you've been there and you're familiar with kind of the layout, there's a lower level entrance and an upper level entrance. And you go in the parking lot for the upper level entrance. And there's a stop sign here and a stop sign here. And it's through traffic coming here. And so I'm coming out. I'm in the through traffic lane coming here, and there's a great big black SUV here that chose not to see the stop sign and paraded right through. And I'm like, excuse me. And not only did he not stop, but he gave me a flying signal. A year and a half ago, as I was writing my talk yesterday, I was thinking about this. And every time I go through that intersection at Target at Grossmont, I remember that black SUV that gave me the flying signal. This, dear ones, is clutter. So I'm clearing it out, and I'm not thinking about it again. But think about how we do that. With a relationship, with a situation, with whatever it was, we keep that and replay that because it does me no good whatsoever, other than to be aware that people don't always stop at that stop sign, which is fine. But it does me no good whatsoever. That is clutter. So I choose to release that and not think about it ever again. And if I bring it up again, would you please call me on it? Advertising is the most amazing business. And if you watch the television, you will see all of those products that you can't possibly live without. And it's interesting, I've been watching the last couple of days and noticing on commercials how often the before and after images, and the before images, the colors aren't quite so bright. And the music's not quite so loud. And it's just kind of distressing. And then you color your hair, or you buy the new car, or you get the hair transplant. $40,000. Men spend $40,000 on hair transplants, can you even imagine? But that's a separate story. Anyway, you do whatever it is the commercial wants you to do, and suddenly there is color and music, and the birds are singing, and the heavens have opened, and life is good. Oh, yeah. It's a wonderful thing because they're giving us the opportunity, they're giving us an invitation to believe that and buy their product, but we can always say yes or no, thank you. If it really serves us, if it's really something we can use, and in no way am I saying don't go shopping this afternoon, it's just the point is, so often that I just absolutely can't live without winds up as clutter. We feel so much better when we got it, but it's not so much because we got it, but it was because of the, I've just got to have this. It's the anticipation. It's the, I'm not going to rest. I won't be at peace until I get this. And then once I get it, I'm at peace, but not because of what I got. It was because that I was working myself up to a froth in anticipation of what I was going to get. So again, no editorial comment related to the products out there. Just it's important for us to be aware of our motivations of what we're doing, and will it, before too much longer, really wind up as clutter? Because I don't know about you, but there's some stuff in my house that I just didn't think I could live without, such as the salsa maker from the fair, that turns out to be eh. So the challenge for us and the opportunity for us is, as we're spending, as we're accepting a belief, to look at it and see, is this really what we want? Will this really bring me joy? Or is this somebody else trying to tell me what I should do? And just be aware as we make those choices. We do a lot of affirmations in this teaching, but if you have affirmations all over your computer screen or all over your bulletin board, I invite you to recognize that you know within you all those things. You know within you the truth of you, and the truth of you is that you're just fine. You are whole, complete, and perfect, and you really don't need to talk yourself into that. Now, if there's one, great. But if you've got 25 or 30 or 35, might be an opportunity to lovingly release some of those and accept them as your truth, period, and let them go. Sometimes, consciously or unconsciously, we buy things, do things to impress other people. The problem is that they're not good barometers because they're doing things, buying things to impress other people. And so it's just that vicious circle of everybody's trying to get somebody else's approval. The approval comes from within us in the recognition that we're just fine. Thank you. That's the truth of us, because we are sacred. Our stuff is not. So it is my intention in this life to buy what I am selling. So next week, we are going to have a book sale like you have never seen in your life. So I invite you to be with me next Sunday. And in no way do I mean to take away from my clutter or the church's clutter and add to your clutter. But there'll be some great books that you'll be able to buy at a great price. And I invite you to be with me next Sunday and come and take a look, because next Sunday's it. Anything that doesn't go next Sunday is going to the garage sale. Because we've got a lot of stuff here, and we've done a really good job in releasing, but there's more releasing to be done. So we're going to continue to do this. You know, this is a process, not an event. You won't go home this afternoon probably and get all of it done. And if you do, come to my house tomorrow morning and you can help me. But the point is, because we're continually looking, continually changing, just as our belief systems. We're looking, we're waking up in the morning and thinking, we get an idea that no longer serves us. That's not true for me anymore. And we get to release that clutter. And we keep doing that. And every time we do it, we get a little lighter, and we can stand up a little straighter because we've released that extra weight that no longer served us. So with that in mind, let's move into the light. So in the peace and the quiet of this moment, we recognize our oneness with the God presence, with one another, and with all of life. And we give thanks for this knowing that there is only one mind, that is the mind of God, and that is our mind now. And whether we choose to call it Spirit, the universe, our higher power, whatever it is, we know that it is a loving, nurturing presence that resides within us as well as all around us, that always says yes to us. And we choose to recognize that, to know that we are the beloved of God, and we release anything unlike love this morning. Anything unlike perfect peace, any ideas or beliefs that no longer serve us, that do not bring us joy, we release them. We forgive what needs to be forgiven, ourselves as well as others, and allow ourselves to move forward. And we allow ourselves to love ourselves enough to choose to live in clutter-free environments. And know that as we release something that no longer serves us, our good never goes away, because Spirit is our source. And so anything we need will be brought to us when we need it. So we're free to release that that no longer serves us. We give great thanks for the opportunity to be together this morning for this wonderful place we call Joyful Living Church. And together we say, and so it is.